And at 4 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, this is an unusual start to the morning show. But you know, there have been things happening in our beloved town that have created all sorts of excitement. And one of those is the, well, there are several proposals on the table, or shall we say there are plans afoot to possibly change the nature of the environment for development that is planned in various different sectors. One piece of development that is planned is a building in the Balito village called The Square, which, well, they're looking to they want to raise the maximum permissible height of that current structure. The maximum permissible height at the moment, as I understand it, is 3 stories. They want to push it to 6. And that, of course, is going to set a precedent, and you know, people are a bit concerned about that. Then there is the boardwalk issue around the La Montagne Hotel, where they want to extend their fence line and create a bit of privacy, and then alter the nature of the walkway, for the public walkway in front of them, dropping it down 2 meters towards the sea. That apparently is not particularly going down well with folk that say, well, it's then going to be in the damage zone for major storm surf, etc. So that's another issue. But the real burning issue at the moment is the Zen Park matter. Now, just to put it into context, Zen Park is a piece of green belt in old Balito, or in the Balito suburbs, that has been, well, it's always been there, really. You know, since the beginning of the development of Balito, there was a site. It was originally 2 pieces of land acquired by the Department of Public Works under the old apartheid regime, and they thought it would be a good idea to just earmark that for a potential school in the future. So it's been like that for 50 years, you know, under the Department of Public Works. But things have changed in 50 years. 50 years ago, that area was out in the sticks, literally. And over the years, of course, the growth of Balito has overtaken that area and surrounded it and isolated it. There is one portion of that 3-earth portion that is considered to be a public open space, a park. It's a beautiful park and people love it. And because those 3 earths have worked together as a single block, if you like, the walkway has extended through there, and forever it has been considered to be one piece of green belt. And lots of creatures live in it, and lots of people recreate in it. But now there's a plan afoot. There's been an application for that piece of, the 2 herbs that make up the education site, to in fact be leased to a potential school project. And that then will be the end of the free roaming, if you like, through this green belt. Lots of folks say, well, you know, clearly had the process of identifying the issue been brought to the attention of the public, particularly people that live in the area, there might have been an opportunity to negotiate a better outcome for that last remaining green lung. But it would appear that the process of advertising the intentions to convert it into a school precinct, or any other educational facility for that matter, were advertised in publications that are not read in the area, or if they are, by no one that I know. And so no one was aware of the plans until they were almost ready to roll, and then suddenly there was an announcement on social media, and of course the community. Well, you know, the Balito community traditionally is one of those that is kind of polite and genteel, and make a lot of noise behind the scenes and behind the keyboards, and you know, but very seldom actually get involved in anything because, well, you know, we're complacent. Oh, not this time. It would appear that this one has struck a nerve. And that was this is the scene that I'm setting now, because with me in the studio, award councillors Privy Makan, Ayabonga Zwane, and a representative of the Zen Park, I suppose, action group would be a good term for it, a committee of ordinary citizens that just are concerned about the status quo, Joni Fenter. It's lovely to have you all here in the morning, so bright and early, to discuss this burning matter. And, oh, and the reason that I think it's important that the councillors are here is because, well, ultimately, Ayabonga, this is your ward.
Yes, it is my ward.
So what's happening? What's happening with the the current status quo. Tell us, you've been involved with negotiating with the Department of Public Works and the community and the applicants for the school. And the, I wouldn't like to have your job for all the tea in China.
Yeah, exactly, Dave. So what I can say is the applicant, which I believe it is the NPO school, did approach the Department of Public Works, and we all know that that piece of land has been zoned for the school. And he applied for a lease, and he did end up signing the lease. And he is supposed to go ahead with building, but he cannot start as yet because he has to submit his plans to KDM, to the municipality, and there needs to be a traffic impact assessment that needs to be done, and also all other internal departments within KDM, they also need to comment on that. So far, that's what has been happening.
Okay. Now, the process, as I understand it, for any development to take place in an area like that,
yes,
involves a measure of public participation. The people that are affected, because property prices might be affected adversely. Some people say they will be affected positively, you know, depends on your position. But they certainly will be affected. Certainly the nature of the suburban existence in that area will be affected. The traffic patterns will. So clearly people need to know and have a chance to examine the facts and to consult with experts and then to present either a counter-argument, which needs to be weighed, or to go along with the fact that they have been consulted and everyone is happy. Was that process followed properly?
So, according to the Department of Public Works, they did put out a notice on two newspapers, which I believe are provincial newspapers. That's according to the standard operations procedure from the Department of Public Works. So, they have to reach a much more broader audience throughout the province.
Because why do they need to reach a broad audience throughout the province that aren't going to be affected one way or the other by the development? Presumably, the only people that actually need to be consulted are people that are going to be affected by the development. That's why they are called interested and affected parties.
But that's according to the Department of Public Works SOP. You see.
So, if I may.
And that's Joni coming in from the far left. You need to get a little bit closer to your mic so we can hear you beautifully.
So, if I may ask, as our councillor for this ward, mm-hmm. why did you not bring it to our attention earlier? Why did you not fight for it? I understand that the Department of Public Works followed the letter of the law. But as our councillor, you should be fighting for them to also abide by the spirit of the law.
Like everyone else, I was not aware of this. It was only brought to my attention when residents in particular started questioning, and then that is when I approached my caucus leader, who is my political senior.
And that's Privy, who's in...
And that's, yes, Councillor Makano, which I know everyone in Palito knows. That's when I approached and said, Privy, this is what it has been going on. Please advise me as to what I should do. And the first question that she asked me, did you receive an email from the Department of Public Works? I said, no. And she said, go and check. I went through my emails. I went through my...
Because it might have been in your junk emails.
It might have been in my spam. I went through it. I spent like a good 2 hours searching for it. I didn't find it. And then I came back to Privy. I texted her, Privy, I cannot find this email. I did not receive this email. And then I asked her for advice. And then that's when she came in.
You see, now Privy, we went all of the interested and affected parties, of which I was one, to a meeting with Ayabonga, with the Ward 6, Balito Ward 6 council meeting or ward meeting, where the school was on the agenda, so everyone came along to ask questions. And at that meeting, it was revealed that you had, in fact, been instrumental in trying to find a
absolutely
suitable... Yeah, so you knew about this.
Dave, I think, you know, I love the point that you made about examining facts. Because that is critical. And I think it's important to contextualize all of this and to take a step back, which I did at Ayabonga's public meeting. And I took the community a step back to, it may have been 2022 or 2023, where the actual school was in my ward. So it was, the school was renting.
Oh, so this is an existing school that is looking for a new home.
Yes, okay. It's an existing school. So they were renting premises in my ward. And they were renting the premises within a commercial node. And the proprietor of that establishment was in the process of applying for a liquor license, and the act says that you can't have a school within a certain number of, within a certain radius of, well, if a place is selling liquor, you can't have a school within that radius. And the owner of the school, or the principal of the school, contacted me saying they wanted to find out how they could approach council for an extension of extension in terms of then them going out and finding an alternate site. And council granted them the extension, which was the 3-month extension. And at the time, I actually encouraged that because they are an NPO and because they are looking specifically to establish a place of education within the broader community, the best thing for them to do, because the question at the time was, does council own land for them to lease? And initially, I actually suggested contact the properties department at the municipality, because we are not custodians
of
that.
Can I just ask you a question before I forget the question?
Can I just finish the point I'm trying to make?
I'm going to just ask a question, you can continue. You say that they had to apply for to move because someone applied for a liquor license and they can't have a school within a certain...
Correct.
As I understand the law, if you apply for a liquor license and there is a school in the area, you won't get the liquor license. It's not the other way around. It's not if you have a liquor license and a school applies to you know, that it'll be turned down. That's as I understand it. Is that how you understand it?
Dave, unfortunately, I would be I wouldn't be in a position to respond to that adequately, but that's definitely a question we can take back.
I just wanted to ask the question and leave it there. That's fine.
Oh, I'm glad your train of thought wasn't interrupted, because mine is now.
It was a deliberate thing, of course, you see.
So
we're having fun this morning.
What I then suggested to the owner as well was to go out to the Department of Public Works, because Public Works are the custodians of more land in the broader community. The owner then got in touch with the Department of Public Works, and initially the application was for a site in Salt Rock. That obviously fell by the wayside, and obviously they then went and sought through Public Works to find another site. But because the application in Salt Rock fell by the wayside, I was no longer involved.
Okay. So you were involved in the initial stages of looking for land.
No. I was merely, and I want to clarify this, I was merely a conduit in advising the applicant, approach Quadaguza Property first. If you fail, approach the Department of Public Works.
Okay, so you directed them
absolutely
along the line. Okay.
Which we do in the ordinary course of our work.
So, okay,
yes.
But you were then aware that they were looking for a home?
100%. Okay. I would never deny that. And I indicated that and clarified
that
in a
public
meeting.
So it wasn't a surprise when they popped up again, but it was a surprise that the process had gone so far and no announcements had been made.
The site was a surprise, that it was that specific site, because I was under the impression that they were exploring.
Okay.
But
area. Maybe we should just move on, because time is always against us, and this is the tragedy.
That's such a pity.
I know. We must have an extended... We'll do a podcast where we can talk for a long time and unpack. But for the radio sort of short bits and bites, I want to ask you this question now. Because it's gone so far, and it's become extremely heated, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate, because this is a community that really and truly is wonderful in terms of its caring and sharing and generally trying very hard to find ways to accommodate everyone. And I say this with hand on heart, because I have seen many, many times how the community comes together to help wherever it's required to help, in times of disaster, in times of good, bad, and different. And that extends to animals in distress and people in distress, etc., etc. Now, to have this community now up in arms about losing the last green space available to them. You see, the school can go elsewhere. This is a fact. A school can find alternative. But if the last remaining green space in the area is lost to progress, admittedly, it is owned by the Department of Public Works. They are government. Government represents the people. In this case, the majority of the people in the area affected are saying, please, guys, is there no alternative? Because if we lose this green space, it's gone forever. Forever. Goodbye. Surely it's worth fighting for. And you guys, the ward councillors, are the elected representatives of the people. Are you... I know that we had a conversation. You said, I can't take sides. And I said to you, but Privy, You are a democratically elected councillor, and the majority of folk in this argument, there's a handful of folk that stand to benefit in terms of the school, and there's a huge community that stands to be somewhat compromised, well, somewhat seriously compromised in terms of their green space forever.